Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on gear, trails, health, books, fitness, festivals, events, and more. This podcast is number 25, and it's going out on August the 22nd. It's still warm here. We were walking and filming again this week, and the second day it was chilly, so we went into a charity shop to buy a hoodie for my son. They didn't have one, so we bought one from a regular store, then went into a second charity shop, and they had a better hoodie than the new one for a third of the price. And no, we didn't take the other one back, as he was already wearing it. Lots of harbour seals on the rocks, always nice to see wildlife when you're on a walk. Of course, if you're in a forest or doing an urban walk in Crewe, you'll probably not see too many harbour seals, or grey ones for that matter. It's now back to school here in Scotland, although on our way to do some walking and filming on Tuesday, it was clear that some parts of Scotland were already back. Second day back at school, they went on a school trip to Edinburgh for the festival, which is always fun but crowded, which was one of the main reasons for moving to Scotland in the first place. No doubt the national UK radio stations will do their back-to-school stuff a few days before they go back in England. Oh, and also on Tuesday, we saw our first Christmas products in the supermarket. As for the 22nd of August, well, it's not Christmas, but it is Folklore Day, Eat a Peach Day, and it's Tooth Fairy Day. Maybe it pays double to lose a tooth today. It's the day in 1909 that the first air show was held in France. Carry-on luggage probably cost extra. For birthdays, composers Claude Debussy and Karlheinz Stockhausen, writer Ray Bradbury, and Tears for Fears singer Roland Orzabal. Last week on the podcast, we had conversations about Coolcations and about a walk to a Roman camp in North Yorkshire. Allegedly, a famous Roman by the name of Julius Caesar walked across the Humber estuary by foot, probably so he could see Yorkshire play cricket. But that's one of those urban myths. He actually went by bike. And he was disappointed because the cricket was rained off, so he had to watch Hull City instead. When I was young, we called it the River Humber, but I guess now they call it an estuary. But I'm paddling in the wrong direction because we should be talking about walking. So let's take our usual look at some of this week's articles on WalkingPost.com. If you do have news, guest ideas, or even subjects to cover, or comments, or you want to advertise, please do get in touch via WalkingPost.com, or you can just email me directly at jim@WalkingPost.com. I've even been getting emails asking questions about walks, which is nice. Even better that I could answer the questions. I felt like ChatGPT, which I suppose they could have used instead. But it's always nice to communicate with fellow humans. All right, let's go through some of the headlines of the news articles you may have missed that we had on WalkingPost.com this past week. Five Irish counties have been given €350,000 funding for their trails. Not each, they have to split it. Hagluf's was in the news twice this week as it introduced five new bags and some jackets. And Intrepid unveiled its new premium walking and trekking trips. A part of the Wales Coast Path is being upgraded this autumn. A sculpture is being unveiled at the halfway mark of the Transpennine Trail. And a new study showed that changes in walking technique could help treat knee osteoarthritis. I always feel bad for the people in those health studies that get a placebo, or in this case, no treatment at all. Sorry, in the name of science, we're not helping you, just using you to compare results. There are five new trails in Singapore, and you can get rewards for doing them all. But there is a catch. You have to live in Singapore. But they don't stop you from doing them if you're a visitor. Anyway, you can read all of these and many more at www.walkingpost.com. It is a shorter than usual podcast this week because one of the guests had the nerve to be ill. But seriously, hopefully they're better soon. And these things happen more often than you can imagine. There are lots of reasons for missing interviews. I think the most inventive one I remember is death. It's when I was on the radio and was supposed to be interviewing someone live in the studio. And it was a bit bizarre. I got a phone call from the person's manager to say that the guest, and I won't say who it was, wouldn't be able to make it. I said, OK, no problem, maybe we can do it some other time. And the agent said, well, we won't be able to rearrange it because he died. Which is the strangest way to say that someone has died I ever heard. I actually got into trouble in school for laughing at something similar. We were supposed to have a famous poet come to our school assembly and read poetry. But the head teacher walked out onto the stage looking very solemn and said, I'm sorry, our guest this morning won't be able to come in to read poetry to you today because he died last night. I started to laugh and got thrown out for being insensitive. It was just the way that it was said. He can't make it to read poetry for you because he's dead. Well, it's pretty obvious that he can't come and read poetry for us. And this was still the era when you could get caned. The stories I could tell. Anyway, on to the interview. This week, for one of our videos, we went to interview a company I met at the outdoor show. And that is the outdoor clothing manufacturer, Kela. The reason it resonated was the fact that they are relatively local, in Fife, and so I thought they would make for a good interview, and of course they did. I spoke with Grace McGregor from the marketing department at Kela.
So Kela roots lie with our parent company Ardmill, which was founded in 1973 by our founder Roop. He started by making seam sealing machines back in the 1970s. He revolutionised waterproof clothing by making seam sealing machines. Before that, they would make clothing by the old paint and daub method, and some Mark I machines are still in use today. In 1980, we took the next step, opening our own manufacturing plant in Fife. At first, we made garments for other brands, but that same year, we also launched our dedicated repair centre, something that would go on to shape Kela's identity and sustainability and longevity. Over the decades, the business has grown from supplying innovative waterproof technology to building our own technical outdoor brand, exporting worldwide while staying firmly rooted in Fife. During COVID, we also adapted quickly, helping to produce PPE gowns for the NHS. We bought another building, we employed around 50 members of staff, a lot of whom still work for us today, and delivered about 750,000 gowns to the NHS.
Why is it in Fife?
So our founder is Sri Lankan and he came over to Scotland, originally working in Singer's own factory. But I think Fife is an ideal testing ground to test a lot of outdoor clothing. Many of us live by the coast. Our designers are constantly trialling new gear, both at work and in their own time. The unpredictable Scottish climate, you know, you don't know if it's going to rain, snow, sun, all in the same day. It keeps us on our toes and ensures that our products stand up to real world conditions. One challenge is that we're not in a large industrial hub, but the benefits, I think, far outweigh that. And it's also great that we've got a skilled local workforce.
It's not a typical industrial park. It's quite green.
Oh yeah, 100%. And yeah, we love that. A lot of us are in the outdoors and in our spare time test the products and, yeah, get out there.
So what kind of things do you currently make?
So a wide range of gear, from police coveralls to advanced waterproof clothing to kind of more insulated blankets and even dog robes. It's a wide range of products. Our speciality and kind of what we're known for is our waterproof jackets. And our system dual protection fabric technology. We won a Queen's Award for that fabric tech. So it keeps the wearer dry whilst also preventing inner condensation. But we manufacture both Kela branded products within the UK as well as for other brands that choose to produce in Fife. And we're very proud of that, and we're proud to support other companies who also share the same ethos with us to manufacture in the UK.
How do you sell? Is it online or through stores?
Both online, and we we're in independent retailers, and most of our market is within the UK, but we do sell worldwide.
What's the legacy project that you have?
So the legacy project was launched in 2023. So we've repaired garments since the 1980s. It's always been a kind of core value of what we do. But in 2023, we took it a step further and we launched the legacy project, which is 7 branches, ultimately to stop outdoor gear ending up in landfill. But it's all about encouraging people to look at different ways of what they're going to do with their jacket or any kind of kit when it's at the end of life. So whether that's repairing, whether that's looking at our second life branch, which involves if your jacket's at the point, it's past the point of repair, don't know what to do if it's got a rip or something in it that we simply can't repair. It's about looking at different ways and what else can you do with the garment. So whether that's turning it into a drawstring bag, a pencil case, we've got lots of different ideas that we can do and how to repurpose this fabric using the same zips, using the same trims, and how to make it into something that you still use and it stops it from going to landfill. So we've got guides on YouTube which encourage people to do it at home, and you can also send your kit into us and we can repurpose it into something else. But yeah, we're not here to preach people. It's just about trying to encourage people to think of, okay, what can I do now with this jacket? It's at the end of life. What else can I do with it just to stop waterproof clothing ending in landfill? It also involves, our legacy project also involves blueprints. That involves selling off one-of-a-kind samples which have maybe been sitting in our archive for years and years and we've held on to it. But it allows kind of people to get a one-of-a-kind piece. And also reclaim, which involves sometimes at the end of our production run, we'll have little bits of offcuts or we'll have a little bit left of fabric. You know, what else can we do with that? Can we make up gym bags? Can we make up a small run of a smock? You know, maybe only 20 pieces, but at least it's getting this fabric used and it's using what we've got.
I know that you make lots of different products. How important is innovation to the company?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's one of our key values. We're constantly innovating, you know, year after year. We're not seasonal like some other brands. We don't work to trends and we don't kind of produce and bring out clothing season after season. We're more about producing garments that are built to last and that are needed and that have been tested and have been innovated on.
There's a lot of clothing manufacturers around. How do you set yourself apart, I guess, from some of the other ones?
Yeah, I think we've stayed true to our roots so this year we're celebrating 45 years of manufacturing within the UK, which I think is very rare. Not a lot of companies still manufacture within the UK, but to us it's a hugely important thing to keep on doing and to keep manufacturing here. And I think over the past 45 years, we have stayed true to our roots. We're a family business. And I think keeping our manufacturing base within the UK and keep on producing high quality technical outdoor gear, which have been designed to last, I think we've stayed true to that. We don't chase trends. Instead, we test rigorously, we innovate thoughtfully, and we focus on making products that people genuinely need. By controlling our own production, our own factories, we also manage to maintain, you know, very good quality and very good durability for our products.
Right. And you are in Fife, where it's an amazing place for walking. There's the coastal path. There's loads of walking here. Is that kind of important to be in and around? Are there any connections to the local walks?
Yeah, I mean, over the years, we've supported lots of different walking groups. We've also just launched our People and Planet Fund, which involves giving back into the community, so it involves giving 2% of our web sales towards People and Planet funds. But no, being in Fife is hugely important to us. It's where it all began. It's where we still are 45 years later. It's a local workforce that we have.
I assume that everybody that works here uses and tests the stuff themselves as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. In our free time, we're always getting samples to trial after working at the weekend. And yeah, the Fife Coastal Path is an ideal place for that. You get hit by all elements along
Yeah,
it.
that's true. Wind, rain, snow in the winter. But yeah, how often do you mention that, like, just coming out with new products for the sake of it, you don't do that. How often do you come up with new products?
It kind of depends on what our designers have been working on. We work very closely with our customers. So we work with mountain rescue teams, we work with police forces, we work with ambulance service on products, and we believe in creating garments that they need rather than just creating for the sake of it. It kind of depends season on season how much we're bringing out. For autumn winter, we do have a new range of insulated jackets coming out. But yeah, we're certainly not one for, fast fashion and bringing out a whole new collection for autumn winter in all these colours just because other people do it. Yeah, we more want to meaningfully bring out products that are needed and that are built to last. And, we'll be with you for years and years to come. And then obviously we've got a repair service on the back of that.
Right, and you're doing ponchos as well now.
Yes, lots of ponchos. Yeah, drying robes, toweling ponchos. Yeah, we're really trying to expand our range a bit more also and look at more lifestyle markets and the whole idea of micro adventures. So, how after work can you just go on a short adventure on your doorstep, which I guess the Fife Coastal Path is perfect for. A quick jaunt, a quick walk, trying to create kit that's designed for that.
Do you have like lots of comments on like is social media important, and do you have all kinds of positive comments from people around the world?
We're on social media, and also we've got ambassadors as well who help us with testing, but we get lots of lovely feedback, from outdoor professionals, from people who just wear the kit out for a dog walk, to police forces. It's good.
Keela is tucked away on a small industrial estate in Glenrothes, and it's a very leafy and green industrial park. Also interesting is that the town centre is dominated by a shopping centre, and many of the shops in the town are undercover. I really like Fife. As it's a bit of a shorter podcast, it means I'm going to hit you with another short rant about the things that bother me about walking. And this one is quite personal, because it's me. Well, not me specifically, but the process of ageing. I know it happens to us all, and it's something that we could care less about in others, until it happens to us. Growing up, when we go hiking as a family, I could never understand when my dad, who was 40 when I was born, had difficulty doing some things, and I'd get frustrated with him. And now I appreciate exactly how my son must feel, now that I'm not the same as I used to be. No amount of telling him how good I used to be makes the slightest bit of difference. When I played tennis every day of the week, anticipating that I was going to turn professional, even though I didn't, I could stand at the net and jump over it. I could climb easily. I'd jump fences and sometimes even over stiles. I'd run downhill through forests. Now a broken stile or a fallen tree is a bit like being told to scale the Great Wall of China, never mind a protruding tree root. A drop of 4 feet, which I would just jump off without thinking, now looks like standing on top of the Eiffel Tower. They're not insurmountable barriers, but they are now challenges, and I have to stop and think. On at least two occasions in my life, I've walked 60 or more miles in 24 hours. I even did 124 hours once, and all of that is now well beyond me. I never got tired. I loved hiking in the heat. Living in Nevada for a while was great, and hikes in temperatures more than 45 were a pleasure. Now it feels like a sauna at 22. I have to plan pee stops, whereas before I felt like the human version of a camel. While the internet can be a total pain and a wormhole that you go down for hours, all I have to do is look at my YouTube history when my son's been on it to see that. Although maybe I'm the idiot, because some pretty stupid videos have 3 million views and the income that comes with that. But the internet does have some fantastic resources, like how to help your balance, posture changes, all kinds of helpful videos on walking as you get older. Of course, getting older didn't happen overnight and it's only going to get worse. But when I see an article about an 80-year-old doing the coastal path, it fills me with inspiration and the belief that hopefully, maybe, I can do the same. I realise I'm no longer an athlete, but as a big person I was always clumsy and accident prone to start with, so maybe I shouldn't always put those mishaps down to age. So, as long as I'm able to, I'll be out on the hills and trails, only now I realise my own increasing limitations. It's a subject that I could go on about for a long time, and maybe at some point in the near future we can get a guest on who can talk about walking as we get older, without alienating our younger listeners who think, why am I listening to this? Now, where did I put my phone? Anyway, that's it for another podcast. If you have news or suggestions for podcast guests, please do get in touch through jim@walkingpost.com. This weekend looks like more walking and filming, which is great, and I'm already thinking about our next adventure, and there may be one in the cards, but I will know after September. It's a public holiday on Monday in England, and I believe in Wales too, but definitely not in Scotland. So I'll be working, as I have two interviews to do for a different podcast, and lots of articles to write. So I hope you enjoyed this week's WalkingPost.com podcast, and I hope you have a great week, hopefully with a walk involved, or maybe two if your Monday is a holiday and the weather complies. So until next time, happy trails! Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.